for the first time in 150 years, a couple of years ago, we get Gen AI emerging. And now the human race is not the only people that make music anymore. And that's a first. So it took humans to create music always. Up to 150 years ago, then there was an innovation of a technology that didn't come from the music industry that really resonated, and there was a great union was born that benefited everybody and humankind.
Welcome to Bobby Osinski's Inner Circle. I'm Bobby Osinski, and this is a show all about music, music production, and the music business. My guest today is founder of iTechnologies, Mick Keeley. iTechnologies uses an ethical AI strategy to produce music copyright holders' interests. Its Genie product produces an AI fingerprint that profiles and tracks copyrighted works, while its Qbot is an AI composer that's responsibly trained on music theory rather than scraping others' works. The company's Mimic is a repository for clone voices, while its Quantum Star project is a research endeavor into how quantum computing can be used in music. All this is the brainchild of Mick Keeley, a musician and television composer who started his technology journey composing scores for video games. He would go on to start the world's first generative music platform called Xhale, which was embraced by creatives in Hollywood. This led to the birth of iTechnologies with the main idea that AI serve as a force for good to reward and protect artists. I spoke with Mick from his office via Zoom. I want to talk more about ethical AI or responsible AI. I guess it's the same thing. I keep on reading both of those, and it seems to me it's the same thing, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Tell me about the problem that there might be with that, with the limited amount of training material. I mean, if you just scrape whatever you can online or wherever you get it from whatever library, that's one thing. There's a lot of data, but when it comes to, you know, things that are opted in, there's less training material. So how does that affect a large language model or any AI for that matter?
Yeah, that's a great question. Like, what we need to really be sure about is understanding that when AI learns on material, it can't forget it. So when you mention opt-in, so artists are being asked to opt in or opt out. If an AI has already been trained on your material, you can't opt out, because it's like you go to school, you learn 6 and 6 is 12. You can't unlearn that. And in the same way, when an AI learns from material, it just can't unlearn it. And so that's a huge problem, because the amount of scraping that has gone on some of the large language models. So the whole idea that, well, you can opt out if you like, no, you can't. Yeah, it's literally too late for that. The damage has been done. And so, we've got a real problem right now. And the only real way to do it is really to destroy the models and start from the ground up again. Only next time do it correctly. Do it with permissions. Do it with including artists and musicians from the get-go. That's simply not what happened this time around.
Looking at your site at iTechnologies, there's something that I saw, Gene AI. Can you describe that?
Yeah. So Gene AI is a model that we've developed. You know, in the same way that as humans we've all got distinctive DNA that says we're different to every, you know, makes us individual, and that DNA can be traced back to our ancestors to tell us where we come from, and you know, we're the part of our genetic makeup. And so we believe at iTechnologies that creativity is also unique to individuals. Art. Let's talk about music right now, because that's what we're talking about. No two people would write the same song in the same way. Many artists have very specific styles that are unique to them. So these are characteristics that we focus on, and we refer to as creative DNA. And so Genie is capable of of analyzing a music work as a work of art, and creating a DNA, a creative DNA profile for the piece of music. And so what that means is that once that profile has been created, like genetic DNA, and there's a repository where it's stored, if there's a DNA match found in anything downstream, well, then it'll show up and Genie will spot it. So let's say there's a derivative work comes from a generative AI model. We could take that track and we can ask Genie to analyze it. And providing Genie has the profile of the original material profile, it can detect where, what the copyrights that influenced that generative, that derivative work are, and who the copyright owners are, or who originated, the original copyright owners that influenced the track. And this, we're quite excited about this, because that means that we can start to honestly create attribution to the artists. And so now we know who needs to get paid. It's simply a matter of how do they get paid and what do they get paid. That part needs to be ironed out. But it's like the horse is already bolted here. And so we've got to find a way to get artists, to get the music industry and AI development, AI companies on the same page. And what's interesting, I think, is that if you look at the recording industry, recording industry didn't originate from the music industry at all. So 1877, 150 years ago, more or less, when Thomas Edison invented the phonograph, it changed music forever, because you could only ever experience music through a human artist performing. You couldn't hear it any other way. And so now it was possible to record music and share it with the world. So an industry was born from that, and that was the recording industry. And the recording industry had to have a relationship with musicians in order to exist. So they coexist, and artists were able to develop. And so we've had a long history of a relationship between musicians and artists and the recording industry and technology. And there's been a way where artists and the record industry have mutually benefited from that for the last 150 years. Now we have this very same situation. Over the 150 years, the only thing that ever changed from an innovation point of view was recorded music moved through different mediums, went from wax disc to vinyl to CD and so on. And we had radio came along. We were able to share music across radio. And, you know, we had better recording equipment, better microphones and what have you. But now, for the first time in 150 years, a couple of years ago, we get Gen AI emerging. And now the human race is not the only people that make music anymore. And that's a first. So it took humans to create music always. Up to 150 years ago, then, there was an innovation of a technology that didn't come from the music industry, but that really resonated, and there was a great union was born, and that benefited everybody and humankind. Now we have a situation where machines, for the first time, are making music and not humans anymore, but it's happening in isolation. And so we have to find a way to connect musicianship, the record industry, with the AI companies, to get everybody back on the same page. So we kind of need to get out of the courtrooms and get in the room and find a way to fix this mess. And so we believe Genie as a technology could be a building stone to help achieve that. And that's what iTechnology is about. I is an acronym for independent artists informing artificial intelligence. And that's, so we believe that the only healthy way, the only ethical way to move this forward is to involve artists and to innovate with artists to keep artistry safe.
Genie's basically a fingerprint.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because that's what we need.
That's what we need. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so iTechnologies has a lot of other products as well. One that I saw that looks pretty interesting is Mimic. And there's already a lot, which is a voice cloning. I assume, because there's not a lot of explanation on it, but it seems like it's a voice cloning AI. There's a lot out there already. How is this different?
So again, if we take a copyright work, what makes that copyright is not just the music that's in it. It's not just the melody. It's the artist's voice as well. And that's part of the copyright. So we're able to create a DNA profile for the voice in a song. Up to now, you couldn't really copyright your own voice. The human voice couldn't be copyrighted unless it was in an artistic expressive forms as a song or as a dialogue in a movie or whatever. Thankfully, that's starting to change because it needs to. We need to have the right to own our own voices. And so Mimic is, again, to be a repository for the human voice where anybody can put their voice through Mimic and have a DNA profile of their voice built. And then Mimic will be able to identify whether or not their voice has been cloned or whether the voice is actually somebody impersonating the voice, or if it's the actual voice of the person themselves that's been cloned with or without permissions. And so something like Mimic could be very interesting in the Scarlett Johansson situation, for example. So, is it her voice or is it somebody that sounds like her? And that's not for me to say, but maybe Mimic can help shed light on that. And so that's what we're developing Mimic for, is to give people the right to protect their own voice, as well as Mimic being able to offer. If one thing important about our technologies is we build them when artists become involved and have their musical works profiled, DNA profiled, or their voice DNA profiled, they also get to choose as to whether they permit their voice or their music to be used downstream in training. And so it's a simple no, I deny training rights, or I grant training rights, providing I get compensated. And so then we will have data sets that we can license out to other AI developers where those data sets are completely traceable and where they are, and where all the DNA profiling that we would license out for training would have permissions. And anything that doesn't have permissions would be kept safe and not licensed out, but would be kept as reference material so that we could trace if there were bad actors using materials and copyright that they don't have permissions to.
I had that happen to me, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, where a listener sent me a file and he said, this is you. And using 11 Labs technology, he basically made me say things that I had never said before. It was all in fun, and he agreed to not release it or anything, and there's nothing horrible about it, but it was just kind of a shock when you listen to it and you go, wait, I never said that.
Right. Yeah.
So I get it, because this sort of happened to me, although not on a commercial level, but I understand it.
Yeah, it's a little scary. It's a little scary to think how it could be used in a darker way as opposed to a creative way.
Yeah.
So we definitely need to put protections into the industry as it develops, for sure.
Hi, I'm Bobby Osinski, and I'm a best-selling author of several books on recording, mixing, and mastering that are considered the gold standard by many. I recently created a new resource for songwriters, artists, bands, and producers, and anyone looking to fix common mixing problems so they can get a better result, stop wasting time experimenting, and not get buried in information overload. I'm calling it the Mix Fix Playbook, 15 quick solutions to common mix problems. These fixes are well known among top mixing pros, but you probably never knew they existed. If you're looking to create mixes that stand up to what you hear on the radio, Spotify, or TV, go to go.bobbyosinski.com/mixfix to check it out now. So how does, is it KiwiBot? Is that the way you pronounce it?
Quibot, yeah.
Okay, how does that play into this?
Quibot is a music generative model, but unlike other music gen AI, it's not trained on copyright material. We've known for some time, in my previous life, I had a company called Exhale, and we built probably the first generative music platform in a browser that you could interact with, that you could edit. It was quite impressive. That took me to LA, where I lived for 8 years, and that technology was adopted by the creatives in LA and Hollywood, and Exhale was used to generate music for shows, for games, for advertising. And what was unique about Exhale is that it was incapable of infringing on copyright, and it was also incapable of plagiarizing melodies of other songs, even by accident. And so it was built that way quite deliberately. What it didn't have was a cognitive learning part, a machine learning part to it. And so I figured that to take that concept further with Quibbit, we built a model that's very cognitive and understands music as a musician would, as a producer would. So it's learned from music theory. And this is key, because it means that when it hears music, it understands what's going on in the track. It understands how the track is structured and put together. It doesn't have to train on the track or absorb that track's information or run the sequences and chop up that track and do what Gen AI does to create other tracks. So we don't need to train Quibbit in the same way that other Gen AI is trained. But why this is such an advantage is because then, if take the record labels, as I mentioned before, we have a new industry. The record labels, artists, and AI, they just need to find a way to come together. So it's quite possible that many of the record labels will want to participate in music Gen AI, but they'll want to be creating works from maybe their own catalogs, and so that the copyright is kept clean, and where the publishing can be kept on that side of the fence. And so when Quibbit is given a set of catalog of music, it can take the catalog of music and then it can start to generate derivatives based on the catalog only, and not cross-pollinate other copyright. It hasn't been diluted by other copyright that the label doesn't own, for example. And also, even artists, maybe, you know, you take some of the big bands that have been around like 30, 40 years, most of the recorded material they have is unreleased. It's on tapes, it's on studio 8 takes. They've got all this content. And so maybe they'd like to take a band as an example. I'm Irish, so let's say U2. Maybe U2 would like the idea that U2 sounding tracks can be generated for whatever use in video game or whatever, where that doesn't affect the art that was pressed into their albums, but these are studio 8 outtakes. So this material can be used to create U2 sounding tracks because it's their DNA. And maybe there's a revenue model there for bands to be able to have their own generative AI models. And indeed, an artist or a producer being able to create new ideas in the studio using Quibbit, where Quibbit is referencing only their own work from their own hard drive and suggesting new ideas as a writing partner for them.
You know, it's funny because you're mentioning about how this is trained on music theory. And back in the early 80s, I had a partner of mine. We're developing, it sounds so quaint now, but it was a music word processor, because up at that point, everybody was copying by hand. So this would use a keyboard that you can just input everything. And we had a big breakthrough one day when we looked at some sheet music and went, my God, this is source code. And since then, I've always wondered why no one has used that approach when it comes to AI. So I'm really gratified to hear that you're doing that in some way anyway.
It is possible to do. We know it is because we've done it before, and we did it very successfully before. There's never been any reason to, let's call it what it is, to scrape and steal copyright to build an AI model, because there was no other way to do it, and because it needed so much content. There absolutely has been other ways to do it, and we already did it. So, I just think that it's really time that the AI companies and the record industries and artists find a way out of the courtrooms and into the rooms that they can build a safe future where everybody benefits again, because it is possible. And that's what AI Technologies is about, helping to build that bridge by developing technologies that make it safe and provide solutions.
You know, you mentioned your previous company, Exhale, before, but I want to go back further here. Tell me how you got into this industry.
That's a great question. How did I get into the industry? You know, it's like I didn't plan to. Something happened. There was an aha moment. So my background, I've been in bands all my life. I've been writing music for Irish television in my past as well, quite extensively. And then I started to write for publishing houses and libraries and stuff in the UK, and then in the US as well. And then I got into composing music for video games. And that was fascinating to me, because in the video game, depending on what a player does, the music has to emotionally support the action. And so there were engines developed that would help assemble music in real time, the stems of music, depending on what was happening. As an example, if it was a first-person shooter, and if the player was sneaking through a level, well, then the music would play a certain amount of stems that were atmospheric and stuff. But if all of a sudden it broke into a big shootout, there was action, then it would start to play other stems, where there'd be big drums hitting and brass wells or what have you. And this was fascinating to me. And so that started the concept for me to think, well, would it be possible to give musicians all around the world structures, templates to write to? So if you're in Australia and you're a guitar player, you're in London, you're a piano player, you're in Dublin, you're a bass player, and that's what you do, but you don't actually have, you don't compose full pieces of music. So you don't really get to participate in the world of composed music or sync music. But wouldn't it be amazing if, because we all have studios on our laptop these days, wouldn't it be amazing if we could do what we do at home really well and just record bass parts or just record guitar parts, but if everybody's recording to set template structures, then when we start to combine these stems together, would they work? And would they work without musicians even meeting each other? And so we started to experiment in that way and discovered that it worked very, very well. And that was the basis of which it was so exciting at the time when I started experimenting in this way. And I got a really good friend of mine who was a techie and he built a little toy version of what was Excel at the time, a first toy version that was able to assemble stems randomly, and everything worked, and it was amazing. And it was on the basis of this toy that I started the company, and then we raised funding and then built a more complex version of it in a browser at a time when the internet was only, broadband was only giving us enough juice to interact with the web. So the timing was perfect. But the timing was way ahead of its time as well. Roll on 10 years to now, and we have generative AI. We have, you know, so we have machines creating music as we did 10 years ago, but we were doing it ethically, we were doing it safely. And so that, you know, my point that it could have been done that way now as well. And so that's how I got into it, kind of by accident, but I did realize that AI was coming as well. And I thought that if we could build this new technology ahead of AI that gave the same result, that generated music for people that wanted to generate music for whatever purposes, then there would be no need for AI to exist at all. And we'd have generative music built in a very safe way. Naive of me at the time, it was my entry into the industry. I've learned a few things since then. But it takes a lot more than a great idea to build a successful company. And so, so here I am 10 years later, and now with iTechnologies, having taken the knowledge that I guess I hope to have accumulated in my last life into a new level. Yeah.
And now you're a technologist.
Technically, I'm a technologist. I don't know. I still don't. Like, look at me looking at code. It's like I might as well be looking into the forest. I don't, coders are, they're great and very special people to be. That's a serious talent to have. So I'm an innovator. I can certainly innovate technology. That's what I do. That's what I do best is innovate. That's my focus. And I let the building of the technology. We have an amazing team. We've got like. I would be very comfortable and confident saying we probably have one of the better data teams of data scientists in this industry right now. They're amazing. I'm very blessed to be working with great guys.
But you're a musician first, I think. And, you know, everybody is when you first start. That's your gig. You never get away from that. But I think here it's important because I do speak with a lot of tech execs, especially AI tech, and they're technologists first and music lovers maybe, but not musicians. There's a distinct difference there. And you couldn't build this unless you were a musician, from what I could tell.
Absolutely agree. I did have an insight that technologists and the data scientists don't have if they don't come from a strong musical background. And that's why it made sense. It's all math at the end of the day. Whether if you're a coder, you're a technologist, or a musician, it's all math, and it's just how you program the math, and you know, building code is basically coding rules, and those rules can be do rules or don't rules, and so music theory is math, and so yeah, it's all math. I'm passionate about music and always have been, which is why I'm very passionate about these projects. And I'm very excited at the possibilities and the contributions that hopefully technologies can make to help, you know, to help build these bridges, because the industry is it's been pretty shook up right now with what's going on.
I saw a Quantum Star project as well on your site. What is that exactly?
So that's a research and development program. We're very lucky that we're probably the only developers in the industry, as certainly on the music side, that have access to a quantum computer. So we're doing some great experimentation there to see how we can leverage quantum computing to really help as well, and to innovate with it too.
I haven't heard of anybody that had quantum computing at all. Jeez.
No. Only the big companies have have quantum computers, and no one else really has access to them outside of that right now. But we do, and we do because, again, the guys that work with me, I've got like data scientists that have been around quantum for 25 years, and have been building AI for as long, and yeah, so they're very, very knowledgeable, and my tech partner in this, Francis Buechner. He is like he's on the quantum board, on the European quantum board, and so I mean he's got such deep connection in it. That was how we found our way to getting access to a quantum computer. So we're very excited about that too.
Wow.
So the Quantum Star project, it's a research and development project, but we're very proud to have that access, and we're excited to the possibilities that will lie ahead for AI technologies to start bringing quantum-based technologies into the music industry.
That should be exciting. It seems to me it's a little ways off until there's something.
It's a little ways off, but you know it is a little ways off. But you know we want to put our flag in the ground here too, and say we're doing it because we are, and yeah. we'll see what comes, and I think exciting times ahead.
Very cool, Mick. Last question, and thank you so much for your time today. I much enjoyed the conversation.
Likewise, Bobby.
What's the best piece of advice that someone imparted to you, or maybe you learned along the way during this journey?
Follow your gut in what you're doing, even if others don't quite grasp what it is you're doing or trying to do. Don't be put off by that. It's amazing what you don't know until it shows up around the corner. I've often found myself, you know, not understanding why I'm following a certain situation. And it might even appear in a business sense to be a disaster situation. Like it might maybe, you know, funding didn't come true or something. You're having to, you know, and really struggle with that. But only to find out that if that funding had come from that particular area in that way, it would have actually been detrimental to the progress the company was able to make, the fact that the funding came from somewhere else, as an example. So, yeah, trust the process and, yeah, trust your gut.
I think that's a good place to stop. Mick, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Bobby. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening and being in my inner circle. Remember, if you have any questions or comments, you can send them to questions@bobbyosinski.com. You can also learn all about the latest in music, audio, and production news, and find out about openings for my latest online classes at bobbyosinski.com. This is Bobby Osinski. I will see you next time.